Hello and welcome to the Voice Magazine podcast. My name is Elle and I'm your podcast host. And today we continue the International Women's Day and Women's History Month takeover from all of the women from Voice as we dig deep into representation and stigmatized issues. To begin, we have journalist Claire talking about women's safety.
Hi, my name is Claire and I am a journalist for Voice magazine, and I just wanted to give sort of a little disclaimer because we talk about my article, which was about safety tips for women on TikTok. And when we were talking about this article, and even when I wrote the article, this was all before the tragedy of Sarah Everard's murder and the discussions about women's safety that followed that in the news and online. So that's kind of why we don't mention it, because all of this happened before that happened. Following that, it's been good to see the different discussions that have been going on and people's voices being added to the conversation. But it just kind of proves the point of my article. You know, some people had only really started to think about women's safety once it was in the news and once it had made headlines with Sarah Everard. But that's not a luxury that we have as women. You know, we can't like dip in and out of this. We don't have a pause button. It's something we have to think about every single day. We don't get a choice to kind of not listen. So yeah, Sarah Everard's murder really brought up a lot of kind of bottled up feelings that women had about this. And then of course we had the statistic from the UN that you wrote about, Elle, with the 97% of...
Yeah, 97% of women have been sexually harassed.
Yeah, and again, that came out after my article and our podcast. Yeah. So yeah, it's like, it's definitely been a roller coaster in terms of writing that and researching it, and then literally like a week after everything happening, even with the vigil for Sarah Everard and everything. So again, it just proves the point of the article, and it would be great if, instead of like dropping the topic of women's safety after the kind of media frenzy has died down, if the conversation was carried on, and because we have to think about it all the time, so people should be talking about it all the time and working towards solutions.
Thank you. That was Claire's very important update, as I'm sure the Sarah Everard situation has been on everybody's mind. Now we go back to her podcast, which was recorded just a few weeks previously.
Yeah. Hi, I am Claire. I have recently joined Voice magazine as a Kickstart journalist. Been here like 2 weeks now. I graduated from the University of Liverpool in English literature, so I love all my writing and just words in general. So yeah, I'm really happy to be working for Voice.
And what's been on your mind this week?
Well, I've written an article on a specific hashtag, a TikTok hashtag, which is hashtag safety tips. And what I found really interesting about this hashtag was that it's kind of contradictory in the way that it's at once like a supportive space where women can kind of talk about things that have happened to them, moments that they felt unsafe. You know, they might have been assaulted or harassed or whatever it is. And in the comments, there's, you know, thousands of other women validating their experience and saying, yeah, this has happened to me as well, or like, I understand how you feel, which is quite a rare thing nowadays because experiences like that are often brushed aside or they're not believed. So it's a positive space, but at the same time, it's also deeply frightening that there's thousands and thousands of these videos of women and also young girls just literally saying, I do not feel safe. You know, I have to think about what I'm wearing. I have to think about where I'm going, what time I'm going there, who I'm going with. Like, it's an everyday burden and we all carry it in one way or another. And it's really like frightening and sad that, you know, everyone, all women and people who identify as women are experiencing this every single day. And it's just really sad and scary. So it's kind of, it's positive, but then it's also not positive.
And what do you think with all these people now talking about it? Do you think it's a step in the right direction? You know, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I think the great thing about TikTok as a platform is that these subjects, which are really important, are being condensed into these 1 minute videos. So they're really accessible and also like interesting, you know, because it's like that short form video. It can like cut really broad topics down into short videos. So, and the fact that like women across the world can post these videos and other women can respond, and it is a really free and open space to do that. Of course, you get some naysayers in the comments, which is inevitable, but it's definitely a step in the right direction that they can talk about it at all.
Yeah, it's definitely good to hear that there's a space opening up online for people to talk about it. And it definitely seems like one of those things that the more people talk about it, the more accepted it is. Do you think in general there's been progress for women? Where do you think things are going?
I think for me it's not so much like the massive moments of progress that I take in. It's not necessarily the things that are newsworthy. For me it's just more kind of everyday things that I notice where I'm like, oh, that's a good sign of progress. So it might be like my mum and I watch like old quiz shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and stuff like that. And the host of that show, his name's Chris Tarrant, and he sometimes he says things or does things, and I just think that would never fly today. Like, that would be called out if that happened in a show today. And when I think of that, I think, oh, well, that is a tangible sign of progress that he wouldn't be able to do that today, and that people could, like, call him out on that kind of behaviour. So that's, like, a really small thing, but it's also a mark of progress that like I notice, and that feels like quite a big step, even though it's a small thing.
No, it's still really important to focus on what seem like the smaller issues. But like you said, I feel like there's such big strides as to, you know, where we were historically, where we're going, which, as you say, you know, there have been a lot of steps to progress. All these seemingly smaller aspects are one step in the right direction, I suppose.
Yeah, the bigger like news stories almost don't feel tangible in a way. Like, they feel so far removed from our everyday lives that it almost doesn't feel like progress, even though it is maybe historically. In the present moment, it almost feels quite removed. But yeah, those small moments definitely make up for that.
And I have a question I've been asking all of the women of Voice. What does being a woman mean to you?
I think it just means doing whatever you want to do. I think the term women has expanded massively over the past like decade or so, which is amazing. And there's so many different, there's not like two ways to be a woman, there's so many different ways. So even if, you know, you might be a girly girl, you might be more of a tomboy, you might like things that aren't traditionally feminine, you might not even identify with the word feminine at all. I think all of those things, they can be encompassed under being a woman, and the fact that it can be so broad is a really, really good thing. So just doing whatever you want to do, being whoever you want to be, that's probably what it means to me.
Bringing back the Barbie girl slogan.
Yeah.
The be who you want to be, Barbie girl.
Yeah, exactly.
If listeners wanted to find you online, where would they go?
I am on Twitter under Jens Claire, JENS Claire, and also of course on Voice's website.
Thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Next up, we switch things around with Assistant Editor Saskia interviewing me about my article for International Women's Day.
Next up, we have Elle Farrell-Kingsley talking to us about navigating male-dominated industries. Hi, Elle.
Hello. So I am the Voice Media sub-editor, and for International Women's Day, I've been focusing on my journey and my experiences in the different male-dominated industries. Particularly for this one, I focused on the world of MMA.
So your article is about focusing on the world of MMA as a woman, as it is a, you know, very male-dominated industry. Tell us a bit about how you got involved in MMA.
So my journey into MMA is almost comical, I suppose. I went to a university party and there was a wrestler friend basically talking about these new MMA classes in the area, and everybody laughed going, oh, that sounds dreadful, why would I do that? And I took it as a challenge and I was like, you know what, I'll do this, I'll do MMA. And everybody laughed at the idea of this tiny 5'2.5" girl saying, yeah, I'll do MMA. And everybody thought that I was just saying it, or I must have been drunk, and nobody expected me to actually like turn up to these classes. And it was just so funny because everybody was like laughing at the idea that I could do MMA. But now if you get to know me, that's no longer an issue.
Because it's now something that you obviously did do, and you've, you know, stuck to it, and you're just a part of that world now.
Yeah, it has been the toughest thing I've lost over lockdown, to be honest. Like, as much as I enjoy festivals and music events, just having like, the structure and going to class and learning, it has been something I've missed a lot.
Mm-hmm. So there's hasn't been any MMA kind of Zoom practices throughout lockdown or anything like that?
Some people do offer it, but I think that would be really hard. For me personally, I just much prefer to be there in person with a real person, not just, I suppose, imagining scenarios. I feel that could help for a lot of people, particularly if they don't have much else going on over lockdown to keep them in the mindset. But for me, it's not particularly that helpful.
So when you did go to that first MMA class, what was it like for you just walking into the room?
Well, naturally, I was the only woman. And everybody asked me, you know, do you have experience? And I ended up going with a friend who later ended up becoming my boyfriend. And it was so, I still get it now. Some people assume that I only go because I go with my boyfriend. You know, and obviously there's a lot of time where I go to classes completely without him. So that is an irritating assumption. But for the most part, everyone's super inviting. And yeah, it was just such a challenge. At the beginning, I didn't know how to do anything. I would just completely get beat up and then get back up. That makes it sound so scary.
Yeah, it does
now.
A little bit. Like, are you okay?
No, obviously, the thing I appreciate as well is, especially a lot of like the bigger guys, you have the 6-foot guys, is the people that know how to hold their weight. So when, you know, they're on top of you, It's just about the technique that they're using. It's not them just trying to crush you because they're bigger than you.
Mm-hmm. So there's a discipline to it.
Yeah, and you know, I think for a lot of the guys there, you know, to them, especially with the self-defense aspects, to them, you know, they've loved their sister, their wives, their mum, their daughters, to also have that self-defense. But obviously it's quite a hard thing, I suppose, to get women into.
Yeah, I will ask you about that again in a second, but I just want to know, you know how you said you're going to class and then you'll overhear guys saying, oh, they think it's kind of hot that a girl does MMA. Does that bother you, other than the fact that you can hear them? Do you not think it's something that happens a lot in certain industries? Like, oh, it's almost a way of keeping like that kind of distance between men and women in those kind of male-dominated industries.
I mean, I do think, yeah, it's very rare that it does happen. I'd say it's maybe one in 30, for example. It's not too common, but yeah, it's definitely problematic. I've seen it in female professional fighters, that people will only pick the one to win that's hotter to them. I've had people that don't, I think it's most people actually in the MMA industry are the ones that are completely welcoming. It's typically the outsiders that are bizarre about it. I've had people ask if they, you know, if I train with other women in class, and if I do, can they come and watch? With, even though they're not at the gym.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, if you're interested in, like, entertainment and women wrestling, watch WWE, which is an entertainment sport, not an actual class.
Yeah. No, that's such a typical thing to say, can I watch? So disgusting. Oh, there's always going to be one, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find that across every industry. And I think particularly as I'll be delving into the music production and sound engineering and DJing industries, it's much worse.
Yeah, because it's not just one male-dominated field that you're actually a bit of an expert in. You do sound engineering, DJing, music production, so you're surrounded by testosterone no matter what day of the week it is, essentially.
Yeah, I take it as a challenge. I'm a competitive person, so that aspect's fun, yeah. I suppose. You know, also, I do believe strongly in showing, you know, we can do it. There doesn't need to be a separation. I think when people hear about the kind of male-dominated industries that I do enjoy, they expect me, they have a certain image of me to be this really masculine tomboy. But actually, you know, you can still be that girly girl and like wear bright colored lipstick and heels and dresses. There shouldn't be a separation.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with you. I think it's that, I mean, you do wear lipstick, you do wear heels, and then you do MMA and you're a DJ. And because of how old-fashioned parts of our society still are, I guess people will look at you first of all and be like, well, what the hell, you're wearing red lipstick, you don't belong in an MMA gym, or you know, something like that. But it's just one of those things people need to get over and know that girls can be fabulous and functional at the same time.
Yeah, it's typically I face the opposites. So people that know me in my day-to-day life with like this lipstick and these bright colours will be shocked at the idea of me doing MMA.
Mm-hmm.
But people in MMA would be shocked at the idea of me wearing skirts and makeup. So I do think as well that MMA is arguably one of the best sports for equality. So as I do mention in my article, you had Ronda Rousey, who was the women's first ever judo Olympian champion in America. And she was also the first female fight in the UFC. And, you know, she discusses it herself. She was the highest paid fighter, not because they wanted to give her extra money for being a woman, but just because she brought in the most money, that like she earned it, which is the equality, you know, is great to see.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when they announced the women's champions, you know how you have the women's football team, the women's basketball team? You don't have that in UFC. You know, she was the bantamweight champion. She's not the women's bantamweight champion. And it's just those small changes that I think will hopefully be a really positive influence on the rest of the industry.
Yeah, and hopefully not even just the, you know, like, sports industry, but hopefully other industries as well, because you never hear about a woman in an office being paid more because she does the most.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't happen. So I think sports, yeah, MMA in particular, is a great way that they just have that as standard. You know, they didn't have to create a separate league or whatever. She was the bantamweight champion. That's it. Deal with it or don't. And more industries need to take on that attitude, absolutely.
Yeah, that's hopefully at least a really positive effect, I find, of MMA.
Mm-hmm. And you also said earlier as well that you think it's, you know, more women should do MMA, but it's quite hard to get women to do it. Why do you think that is? What's the off-putting factor?
I mean, I don't think I could personally tell you the off-putting factor, because clearly it wasn't very off-putting to me.
Yeah.
I think some of it is just looking at a class of 30 men who typically all go to the gym, so they're all quite like big and muscular. Looking at them and thinking, oh, am I going to be the only woman in the class?
Mm-hmm.
I think some people, or some women, would benefit from women's only classes, which do exist in some gyms, but they are so few. And personally, I think just the self-defense aspects that you can learn, particularly from martial arts such as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, it's good to practice mm-hmm. with men twice your size. You know, you're forced to learn the technique because you can't just use your strength. You have to have perfect technique mm-hmm. for the move to work.
But you mentioned in your article about, you know, the dangers that women face, whether it's being assaulted or, you know, attacked. But for your experience getting into MMA, it was almost a challenge. You know, everybody looked at you and said, well, you're not going to do that. And then you did. What stopped you from joining MMA beforehand?
I just didn't really know about it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think many people do. When people think about what sports do people do, MMA is never really an option. I previously tried Taekwondo as a kid, but personally at the school that I went to was more of a learn a dance sequence that we're going to call Taekwondo and we'll give you a belt. It wasn't actually engaging with each other, and it wasn't actually, you know, any like self-defense or fighting. It was just do a dance sequence that looks like martial arts. And unfortunately, there are quite a lot of martial arts schools out there that do have that kind of grading.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean from my own school experience, it was, oh, you know, we're gonna do karate. And it was actually karate. It wasn't, you know, doing a dance sequence. But we're not, I think when we get to a certain age in school, you're not really encouraged to continue those things. And I think it's the way that they lay it out. Karate was always an after school activity. It wasn't part of PE. You know, your parents had to pay for it and stuff. So I think it seems like from what you're saying that in order to get more women into MMA, they just need to realise that it is actually an option for them.
Yeah, so what I really love actually is I was at the UFC gym in Nottingham. It's the first UFC headquarters to open up in England. And over like the half term, I think maybe 2019, they had free half term and gave free lessons to children. You know, it was a good way to keep them busy over the holidays. And mm-hmm. it's such a great thing for children to learn. You know, if you naturally learn the reflexes to be able to defend yourself as a child, that will help you so much as an adult. And as they say in the jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. video I link in the article, you know, in a perfect world, you wouldn't need that. But in a perfect world, like this, these attacks still happen for men and women especially.
Yeah, exactly. It is, you know, it is men and women, but it does seem to be, you know, there's a lot of women. The disparities between those statistics are still like really high, and we need to see some change in that. So maybe MMA is the answer. If we were all equipped with it, no one dare come near us. Or they can try, but they won't get very far.
The statistics I listed in the article shocked me. I did not know that even statistics would be that bad as well.
Yeah, they are overwhelmingly awful. But so just to round off then, because it is International Women's Day, I'm going to ask you, what does being a woman actually mean to you?
So I feel this would be the very different answer. And I think maybe it is because I am surrounded in these male-dominated industries. And I fully love like, who I am, but being a woman is not necessarily part of my identity. I want my personal attributes to stand out for me and what I'm personally doing. And I would hate for any way to just be categorized, you know, as like just woman, because actually I think that could be really harmful as well. Which is obviously more of a, I suppose, negative take on it. But for example, when in boardrooms where it is good that there's more women in those positions, but particularly where they've only sought out to get a woman because she's a woman, I do think it's actually really harmful, because then people look at it and go, she only got the role because she's a woman. And that's not, I think that's the wrong statement to make. You know, she got the role because she earned it, because she's great, because she fit those boxes, because she was better than the male candidate. And I think to, you know, the situation of, oh, well, we'll just put them in the women's category, actually sometimes in some cases make people respect it less.
No, I can completely agree with what you're saying. I think people should be able to go into whatever industry they want based on merit. But I think it's very similar with whether, if it's not about gender, whether it's about race, it's almost where those people don't exist in those places naturally. It's like that kind of positive discrimination is needed to level out the playing field. But I can, you know, it's not ideal, and you'd much rather, whether you're a woman or, you know, whatever, you'd much rather get the job because you knew that you were the best for it. But because we have so much, so many people in positions who actually didn't deserve to be there, but they are there just because they're a man, it's almost, you know, having to level out that playing field, and hopefully we'll get there soon.
Yeah, I think, for example, with my music, I produce under the name Lizard, which means that hopefully, you know, I'm not, it's never about what gender I am, it's just about my music. And hopefully, when it comes to obviously people to see the name Lizard and that they hear the music, there's no judgment, because it can be positive and negative. I would hate for people to like me just because I'm a woman. Although I definitely agree there should be much more women representation in the industry. But at the same time, there will always be people who dislike you because you're a woman. So I think that will make a interesting difference for people to kind of judge me on my music, I suppose, alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of the many double-edged swords of life, but with more women taking up space in industries like MMA and sound engineering, I'm sure we will all get there soon.
I hope so.
Okay, Elle, well, thank you so much for talking to us. And everybody, look out for the next couple of podcasts for International Women's Day as well.
Thank you for interviewing me. And thank you for listening to today's podcast. Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as VoiceMagUK. The Voice contributors are also on Instagram over at voice.extra. If you are looking for another podcast to listen to, the contributors release the Voice Extra podcast every Saturday, where they talk about the pieces they've produced and the culture they've been enjoying. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider helping us to make more for a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work on incomputech.com. L. Farrell Kingsley was a sound engineer and producer. Saskia Kaliste and Tom Innes were the executive producers.